Now, somebody may ask, God, who are you? What is your nature? Who is this I that you are talking about? Bhagwan says, na, me, I, mama. So Bhagwan says, okay, I'll tell you who I am. So in the verse number 24, we hear from the God's mouth himself, who God is and what is his nature. His or her, God is neither male nor female. God is the energy, the substratum of the universe. So that consciousness, what is the nature of that? The Lord will tell us, verse number 24. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Manyante mama buddhayah.
Manyante mama buddhayah.
Param bhavam ajanantah.
Param bhavam ajanantah.
Mama avyayam anuttamam.
Mama avyayam uttamam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam. Manyante mama buddhayah. Param bhavam ajanantah. Mama avyayam anuttamam. So Bhagavan says, people, mom, abuddhaya, the last word in the first line, abuddhaya, he is giving us one more adjective. He says, no intelligence. First he had said limited intelligence. Now he's saying we have no intelligence, abuddhaya. Again, what he's meaning is people who foolishly do not know whose God nature is. So he says, avyaktam vyaktim apannam. Even avyaktam means even though I am unmanifest. Vyaktim apannam. I have become manifest. So this unmanifest supreme consciousness that we are not able to see, that we call Brahman or God or consciousness, has become manifest in the form of Lord Krishna. That's what we believe, that God, the Supreme Lord, manifested on earth as God Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So, avyaktam vyaktimapannam. So, that we understand. But what other people think, I am just an ordinary human being. I am just a human being with some power. So, that's why even Duryodhana at that time used to think that Krishna is, okay, yeah, he has some, you know, maya, little mayavi power. But he did not care much. And that's why he was not afraid, even though Bhagavan was on Arjuna's side. And when he went, he chose the army over the Lord, if you remember that story. So he says, people think I am just some power who has just appeared on earth, a human being. And that's what they consider me, as an ordinary human being. But param bhavam ajanantah. Janantah means no, ajanantah means they do not know my supreme nature. Param bhavam, my supreme nature. And what is my supreme nature? Mama bhavam is what? Avyayam anuttamam. Avyayam means immutable, that never changes. Anuttamam means the highest, which cannot be excelled. So what is manifest and what is unmanifest? That we'll talk
Sorry,
about.
I couldn't hear what you said.
So what is manifest and what is unmanifest? That we'll talk about. Because they said, God says, I am actually unmanifest, but I have manifested on this earth. So manifest means whatever I can see with my senses, what I can see with my eyes, hear with my ears, nose, tongue, skin, whatever I can taste, smell, touch, that is manifest. So anything that I can perceive with my senses is manifest. Not only with the senses, but with my mind, all the emotions that I can feel are also manifest to me. My emotions may not be manifest to you, but they are manifest to me. And also with the intellect, whatever ideas I get, they are manifest to me. Not only my ideas, but anybody's ideas. Anybody knows anything, like a scientist has discovered or invented something, he publishes it in the journal, even though I myself have not seen it, but it becomes manifest to me. Manifest is not only what I can see, but also by inference. Like, for example, on the mountain, I see some smoke. So what do I say? There must be a fire. where there is smoke, there must be a fire. Even though I cannot see the fire, it's behind the mountain, but I know that the trees there have caught fire. So with the smoke, I infer that is fire. So manifest is not only what I can see with my eyes, with my senses, with my mind, with my intellect, but also my inference, all that is manifest. And what is unmanifest? That which I cannot see, hear, smell, taste, touch, which I cannot think with my intellect, which I cannot know with my mind. So that's what they say, that Brahman, that total consciousness, is unmanifest, cannot be thought of, cannot be described, even the scriptures cannot describe it. So, but the scriptures make an attempt to point to us how we should find this Supreme God, this Supreme Consciousness, and that Supreme Consciousness has taken various avatars, incarnations. That's why we say Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Sri Ram, Mother Saraswati, Lord Shiva, Ganpati, Jesus, all of those are Buddha, they are all manifestations of that Supreme. Even though that is unmanifest, it becomes manifest. So that's what Gurudev says, the idol should lead you to the ideal. So when we see an idol, when we go to the temple, we see an idol of God, or when we see Jesus on the cross, or when we think about Shiva in meditation, it should take us to that Supreme Consciousness. So the form should lead you to the formless. Because if you say God is only in that idol or only in that particular form, that form alone is real, all others, then that what makes fanatics. We'll say, well, Krishna alone is God and Buddha is not, or Jesus is not, or Shiva is not. In Hinduism, even Vaishnavites and Shaivites often fight that my God is superior to your God. And that is foolish, and that's what the problem in this world is. A lot of the violence that we see, it is because of this fanaticism where my religion alone is right, my prophet alone is right, my God is right, and they break, you know, temples and churches, and so that is all due to fanaticism and ignorance. So what is my nature and what is my connection with the totality? So the example they give is like a bulb. Now there is an electric bulb. Now the bulb can say, I am this limited bulb. And then when the bulb gets, you know, filament dies out, the bulb ends. So that is one understanding. The bulb says, I have died. But the other understanding of the true understanding would be that the bulb says, I am electricity. My high nature is electricity, even though my lower nature is the bulb. But my highest nature is electricity, just as you and I can say this body, mind and intellect, where I am, where my name is Anil or Sudha or Viji, and I am this limited body, mind and intellect, then that is my limited understanding. But if I understand myself to be that total consciousness and identify with that, and that total consciousness at this moment has manifested in this form, and I have a name. I have a name called Naina or Khushali or Neeru, and I have a form, male or female, young or old, but those are all my equipments. I am that immortal nature. And that's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna throughout the Gita tells us. You are not only this limited body. This body, mind and intellect are your equipment. You all are divine, and you have appeared on this earth for a particular purpose. So when you identify with the bulb, when it identifies with the electricity, then it says, what? I am the total electricity in the entire earth, and all the bulbs are me. So that oneness. So that's what these great masters, when they identify with that total consciousness, then they become one with that totality. And that is called universal love that we had seen last week. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. It is very rare to find a great Mahatma, a great soul who sees this oneness. While you and I, we see the differences. Oh, this, he belongs to my community, to my race, to my country, to my caste, to my creed. So that is your limited thinking, but you have to vasten your thinking. You have to make it larger. And then Bhagavan says, my nature is supreme. I am the highest beyond everything. my supreme nature, there is nothing higher than me. Mattaf parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Bhagavan had told us earlier in the 7th chapter. And then he says, my nature is immutable. Immutable means never perishes. So God always was, is, and always will be. Billions of years ago, this universe appeared from the Big Bang. God was already there. When this universe ends, at the end, when all the stars die out, God will still be there. And they say this is not the first universe. There have been many universes, billions and billions and years ago. There have been different universes, and this is not the first creation. And not only that, but this visible world we see is only one out of 14 worlds. There are 13 other worlds. So that's what he says. I remain the same. The universes may come and go. And then he says, my nature is unexcelled. Avyayam anuttamam. Uttamam means the best. Anuttamam means there is nothing better than me. Means he is the supreme. He is the highest. And there is nothing in the world that can excel that God. And go higher. We say, oh, then that is very intimidating, because God is everywhere. He is some power sitting somewhere. And how can I know him? You know, God, where is God? People ask, and they always think God is sitting somewhere else, either in the temple or he's somewhere up in heaven. But the masters tell us God is within. If you want to truly find him, look within and you will immediately connect with that God. You don't have to go anywhere. Just look for him within. I'll end with one of the best stories I have heard in a long time. What I heard recently is so powerful, very inspiring. So there were these two friends. One was very rich. He was a multimillionaire, had a lot of money. And this other friend, they had been friends since school. You know, they had gone to school together, college, and, you know, they lived in the same city. And the other guy was average. He had a job. He had lived in an apartment. He was, you know, doing okay. But this other guy was very rich. Now, this person living in the apartment was a very hyper individual. He would all the time be running and walking and talking, never silent, always talking to people, always, you know, working. If he has nothing to do in the evening, he'll call somebody, let's go out for dinner, let's go to a party. On the weekend, he'll be traveling, he'll be, you know, drinking, eating. Even when he's home, either he's chatting on the phone or he's on the computer, or never silent, never quiet, always doing something and never sat still. Pick up the phone and just call people, talk to them, chatting, you know. So this other friend who was very rich, he says, you know, can you stay silent for a month? I can't do that. He said, I can't even stay silent for 5 minutes. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 10 lakh rupees, you know, million rupees. And that's a lot of money. If you can stay silent and stay alone for 1 month, he said, what do you mean? He says, I'll put you in a house and you'll be completely alone. You'll have no phone, no books, no internet, and see, can you stay like that for 1 month? If you can stay for 1 month, at the end of a month, I'll give you 1 million rupees, 10 lakh rupees. So this person needed the money. You know, he said he wanted to start a business. He said, okay, I'll try. I'll do it. So he says, okay. So he finds him a house. He locks him up. He says, you'll be locked up. Every 3 times a day, somebody will deliver meals and they will take your old plates. You eat the meal and then leave the plates outside. So you won't have contact with anybody. You won't even see who is bringing the food. And you can't have any books. No phone, no can you imagine? People like, I don't think I can do it. So this guy says, okay, I guess for 10 lakh rupees, I have to do it. And he says, but there's one thing. If you get tired, there is a bell you can ring and somebody will come and let you out. And in an extreme emergency, we have an emergency entrance in the back. But once you use it, you can't come back in. Then we'll know that you have gone out. Okay, all the conditions I understand. So he's locked up there and every 3 times a day he gets meals and he's sitting there all alone, nothing to do, nothing. So 1 or 2 days he says, you know, it's okay, it's not that bad. You know, I used to be so busy, now I have free time and at least, you know, I'm getting free food, and then I'll, at the end of that, I'll get, you know, 10 lakh of rupees. But then by the second day, he can't take it anymore, you know, because he's so used to, he's so extrovert, you know, like us. And he starts looking for things to do. There is nothing there in that house. There is nothing. And he gets so crazy. He starts banging the walls. He starts screaming, and he's angry, and he's mad, and he's frustrated, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's unhappy. And why did I agree to this? I don't think I can last 1 month. On and on, he's shouting and fighting. And this man, this friend, periodically walks by, says, aha, this guy is getting frustrated. He's not going to make it. My money is safe. Interestingly, by the 10th or 12th day, he has gotten used to that. And slowly his screaming becomes less. And his restlessness goes down. He's not running around hitting walls. And he learns how to sit. And then in silence, he finds something different which he had never found before. See, he was all the time looking for things to do outside. He had never found, contacted that inner silence, that what is this? And a strange change comes over him. There is a transformation in his thinking. And now when the friend walks around, he doesn't hear any screaming. Nobody's banging the walls. And he hears a strange silence. And this man inside is getting transformed. He's slowly changing. And 15 days, and in the meantime, what happens to that guy outside, that rich guy, he had put all his money in stocks and in very questionable investments and all this day trading and short sales and in some real estate which he had heavily borrowed. And what happens is the stock market crashes, as it is happening now, and all his money goes down. When his money goes down, he has no money to make the payments on the properties, and the banks come and ask for their money because everybody knows that he's heavily mortgaged. And so he has to declare bankruptcy because all his money is finished, his properties are worth nothing, the whole market has crashed, and so he becomes bankrupt. Within the few days, everything is gone. And he says, how am I going to pay this guy? I had told him I'll pay him 10 lakh rupees. I had even signed a paper. And looks like this guy is not coming out. 20 days pass and 25 days pass. And this guy inside is experiencing a rare silence and peace within. So by the 29th day, this guy outside cannot take it anymore. He says, I have no money to pay him. And this guy looks like he's not going to come out. So he picks up a gun, this so-called friend. He takes a gun and he softly opens the door. He said, I'm going to go and kill that guy, because his house was far away in the wilderness. He said, nobody will hear me. I'll just bury his body. And that way I don't have to pay him 10 lakhs. And this was the 29th day, because the last day he was supposed to come out. And this man walks through the whole house and doesn't find that friend anywhere. He said, where did he go? He searches every room in the house. And then he sees the back door is open. And there is a note on the kitchen counter. He says, the note says, my dear friend, what you have given me is invaluable. What I have experienced in these last 30 days and what you have given me, no amount of money in the world can buy that. He says, I'm so thankful to you for giving me this opportunity to go within. And he says, I'm leaving on the 29th day, so you don't have to pay me. You don't have to pay me because I did not fulfill the 30 days, but I am so grateful to you. Mm-hmm. So he had found the inner peace, the inner silence, which the whole world is searching for. And that is what they say, that God ultimately has to be found within. And that's what we can learn from this story, that this, what is the divine outside is the same inside me. God that is outside is also within me. So this stay-at-home order that we have from the governor and the situation we have, take advantage of that situation. And of course, you can do your studies. We can do our housework. We can do whatever we need to do. But spend some time in going inward, in trying to discover this. And actually, if you walk on the streets, they don't say, but you are allowed to go for like limited walks, you will see the whole city is so silent. They say the whole earth is silent. I mean, it's not good what is happening, but take advantage of this opportunity to go within. Maybe just sit for a while in your backyard and enjoy the breeze, enjoy the sun, or enjoy the moon. The moon will be full in a couple of days. So things that we normally take for granted, just the rustling of the wind in the trees, so all these things will remind us of that divinity. So that is what they are saying, that if you want to find God, find him within. So this is basically today's verses talk about. People who look for joy in worldly objects will get temporary joy. If you want permanent joy, find it in God. Whatever success I have, whatever gifts I have been given, that's what Gurudev says. What you have is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to him. So if God has given us so much, it is our duty to give back to society. And thirdly, God is the supreme consciousness which sustains the whole universe, which is immutable, unchanging. But if you want to find him within. So that is the essence of today's teachings. I'd like to thank you all for participating and for listening. I would like the youngsters to please add if they feel anything they can add, or if they any questions they may have, or anything additional. So can I go one by one? Maybe ask Ayushi, what do you think? You can unmute yourself, yes.
Okay. One of the things that I was just a little confused about was earlier we had discussed Shraddha and how it's not just blind faith, but it's faith with knowledge. But then later when we were talking about verse 23, you had mentioned the story of Buddha and how he was saying, like, you haven't exactly seen the mountains, right? But you believe it. And so I'm standing in front of you. So why don't you believe me? But is that also not like a blind faith, because it's not exactly tangible? So how do you like understand the same world? Yeah.
That's a very good question. The way you believe that is, first of all, you see that all prophets have talked about this. Whether it is Buddha, whether it is Jesus, whether it is Shankaracharya, whether it is... So this knowledge has been repeated in all the scriptures, and great rishis for thousands of years have come up with that same experience. That's number one, the same experience of nirvana. Secondly, when I apply that in my life, we will also get that. So you have to, as that young man who kept himself in silence and in 30 days experienced that nirvana within. So this, what they're saying is, you don't blindly believe it. First of all, see that it has been, like scientists, you know, the same theories have been proved by many scientists. The theory of gravitation, the theory of relativity has been, only after many scientists or a new medicine that comes out, it has to have been tried by various doctors before they approve it for the general public. So try it out for yourself. That is the idea of studying the scriptures, that apply that in your life, and you will notice a major change in your life. You will notice a transformation when the spiritual knowledge becomes. So the knowledge has to be your own experience or the experience of people you trust, like that Buddha, because that disciple had great faith in Buddha. So that's why he said that. And I am telling you, yes, but you're right. The faith starts out as faith and it has to end up in knowledge. And not only their knowledge, but my knowledge. Uh-huh. That's why they say aparoksh anubhuti. Shankaracharya ji says, first you listen to the scriptures, and then you can, when you sit in meditation, you can experience that. So that has to become your knowledge. Until then, it is the prophet's knowledge. It has to become my knowledge. Anything else, Khushali? Anything you want to add, Khushi?
No, I was just looking at the verses, and I was looking again at verse 23, and I think the translation of my book said, those who worship the gods go to the gods, but my devotees come to me. So I think in that context, is it about like the lower gods in that sense, I think that you were referring to, that like those people get quote unquote like lower pleasures instead of attaining a more spiritual fulfillment?
Yes. Yes, they get the lower pleasures and the temporary pleasures. If you want a permanent pleasure, you have to find it in the permanent. If you want the highest pleasure, you have to find it in the highest.
But so I guess my question really comes down to like, is it possible that people can find a sort of permanent spiritual fulfillment, not necessarily in lower things, but like, again, in like the experiences and the people and the things around them? Rather than one specific, specifically what we call that permanent consciousness.
Well, I think you can find it in the world if you know that the world is an expression of that permanent. The world is temporary, so anything that is temporary will give you temporary joy. If you want permanent joy, you have to find it in the permanent. But say you worship a stone, like there were examples of where somebody worshipped a stone thinking it is Lord Shiva, and then he actually reached that state. So if you see the permanent in the temporary and see that then you can. But yes, in the lower pleasures, you will get lower joys. If you want permanent joy, you look it in permanent pleasures. But thank you. These are good questions. Amishi, anything else?
I just want to point out how I thought, how you mentioned earlier that the world runs on faith. And I never really thought about it that way. I always thought that, like, hope and altruism were, like, really hard to come by in today's world. But, like, the examples that you brought up, such, like, basic examples, it really kind of... It's refreshing to know that, like...
Yeah, it does. We don't know that.
Thank you.
Finding that kind of hope in the world is possible.
Hope and is also good.
It's nice to have a slight change in mindset.
Yes. No, but your point of hope and altruism is very true. The world runs on hope and on altruism. If we didn't care for each other and didn't share, then the world will come to a standstill. So yeah, all of these values, that's why these values that are taught in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and or all of those are that, you know, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantir, all of those that you have studied is meant that all of these values together run the world. So faith, hope, altruism, all of those. So I totally agree with you. Thank you. Rachna, anything else?
Yes, Sagar.
Is Rachna there? Sagar? Is that Sagar? Who is that? Rachna's iPad.
I don't know who is that.
Or Rushil, how about you? Anything you would like to add?
I just thought it was interesting when you were talking about how, like, especially now during quarantine, it's kind of hard. It's like on social media and everyone's just complaining about how, you know, there's these that they can't do. And I'm guilty of it too, that, you know, it's like, oh, I can't go outside like at a whim anymore. But I guess it was interesting to hear like this kind of perspective and outlook on it, that, you know, this can be a good thing and we need to take advantage of what's been given to us and not just keep.
Yes.
You know, looking for something that isn't there.
So true. That's why that story I told you is very powerful, because it is so pertinent. Somebody just recently sent it to me and I said I must share it, because it's the perfect time where you can go inward and realize how much extrovert we have been and how much we depend on the world for, you know, for this and that and the other. And now when we don't have the world and we are still fine. See, that is the understanding which that young man came to and which we all can. Thank you. That's good. Mahima, anything else?
Yeah, so mine was kind of similar to Aishi's, and I don't really know if there's an answer to this, but just something I have to think about is kind of how you were saying, like, blind faith. So for someone who's maybe, like, never
like especially like younger people like us teenagers who maybe hasn't seen like fully experienced God impact them directly or like hasn't had an experience like that yet, it's kind of hard for us like our age younger to kind of accept that blind faith, I think.
True. But when you sleep at night, who makes your heart beat and your lungs? Do you do that? Or do you digest the food that you eat? There is a higher power which is connecting your whole body, right? Because you are not doing it. And this whole universe, all the planets are keeping in their various orbit. They don't crash into each other. Halley's Comet comes every 86 years or 76 years. Faithfully, it goes for trillions and trillions of miles and comes back. These are all expressions of that divinity. When you hear about black holes, how huge they are, and how the millions of galaxies can fit into one black hole. All this, for me, that's why astronomy is fascinates me. Any article on astronomy I love to read, because it reminds you that there is a higher power that is running this whole universe and keeping it. I mean, the air, you know, is maintained. The sun is evaporates the water, creates rains, billions of gas. And so all that is run by a power. It's not just happening by chance. I mean, you don't have to call it God or Krishna or Ram, but it is the consciousness. It is the energy. It is the substratum. You can call it that. But there is a higher power that is running this universe. And without that, the universe would become a chaos.
Effect and cause.
So yeah, effect cannot be without a cause. So the cause is there and it is the effect. And so you see that. You see this beautiful flower blooming, all the colors. I remember I went to Australia, and when you go underground in that, what is that place where you see all the fish? I forget, where you go underwater and there's millions and millions of fish. Every color of the universe you can find. So many fish, and you just see they're just swimming around. And wow, and when you go snorkeling, who is that? Who colored all these fish? Who made all this beauty? It doesn't just happen by itself. It's not just chance that the world was created. There is a higher power that created it. You may not have experienced God as, like I have also not seen God as standing as Shiva or Ram. Or you Krishna, don't. But in the heart, when you quieten your mind, you feel that inner peace, that inner silence, and see him in everything that is happening, whatever is happening, good or bad, there is a higher power that's doing it. But that's a very good point. Thank you. Rishi, anything else?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting around the stories, and also like the story that you told them. A lot of other stories, how people only start to appreciate the smaller things once they hit rock bottom or they're taken away. Mm-hmm. So I guess something that I would want to start working on is appreciating the smaller things, even when I'm not limited. Like, so even if I'm not stuck at home during quarantine, I still want to appreciate things like I would do if I were home.
Very good. Thank you. Vandita?
I have a question about verse 22.
Yes.
You know, we discussed like having lower goals, such as that are more like selfish and things like that. But like, let's say you're poor or a single parent or something, and you still have to like provide for your family or survive. How do you go about that in a way that you're still like attaining that higher goal?
No, Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita starts with karma and karma yoga. So that is the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where he says you have to do your duty wherever you have been assigned. You're a single parent and you have to work hard to take care of your children. That is the job. Do it as a service of God. See God in those children. Not, oh, why do I have to work for these three little brats? No, God himself has come in my house as these three beautiful children. And so by taking care of them, I'm serving God. And yes, hard work will be there, but then you'll have the joy that I'm doing it for them, not as a punishment. So every action, wherever you have been placed, whether you're a student, what is your duty? To study well, to study hard, do well, be successful. If you're playing sports, you have to play to win. You have to do the best you can. Whether you are in a science bowl or in, you know, wherever you are in mock trial, do your best But and then whatever the results come, it will be based on my effort. So yes, obviously she is not going to have time to go to church and pray for an hour, but for her that taking care of the three children is worship of God. So that is called your assigned duties, whatever, wherever you have been placed. And also I believe that God has placed us in the right place, which is meant for our growth and the best place where I can serve. So whoever is there, it is not by accident, but it is a divine plan that is happening. And the more you start watching, the more you will see the Lord's presence everywhere. Just become aware. You see the moon, how beautiful it looks. Look at the mountains, the breeze, the flowers, a smile of a little child. All that is God. Thank you. Good. Krina, do you have anything else?
So I had a question. Earlier you mentioned that it's like okay for younger people to have slightly more worldly desire, like for like education and everything. But how would you know when to transition from okay, it's okay to have more worldly desires to like being older and focusing more on religion? Like how would you know exactly when to switch?
Right. No, that's a very good point. I think that's why studying the scriptures will tell you. And also what will happen is as time goes by, you will realize that especially in this country, we have everything. You know, we are all financially doing well. We are comfortable. We have all the joys. But still, life is not giving me the highest joy that I want. And still, life is giving me problems. And once you have accomplished, you find that there is still so much more to be done. So as you get accomplished in the world and you find it's not enough, then this vairagya comes, this detachment, where you then realize that there is a higher goal. And that's why studying the scriptures, the masters remind us that this is not your only purpose in life. It's not just to grow up, get married, have children, take care of the children and perish. That is not my ultimate goal. That even a sparrow does. You know, a male and a female sparrow, they will meet, they'll build a nest, they'll have children, teach them to fly, and they perish. If that's all I'm going to do, then what is the difference between me and a sparrow? Mm-hmm. So the goal of human birth, and there are some people like Shankaracharya ji, by age 5 or 6, he knew his goal and purpose, and he left his house at age 9 to seek the truth. Raman Maharishi by age 15 or 16 was going into meditation. So some people have that, and it's all from previous birth. If you have done a lot of good in this birth, then Sri Krishna says you will be put in a house of yogis where you will continue your journey. And also we find that even though we have accomplished so much, but the sorrow doesn't go. Sooner or later, life will give you some sorrow, some problem as what we are facing right now. But if you have found that inner presence, then no matter what sorrows come, no matter what problems come, you watch it, you take care of it. Of course, you take all the precautions, as you know, but inside you are not disturbed. So that is the sign of wisdom. The world can only give me so much. Sooner or later, we will discover that there is something higher. And it will happen. It's gradual. Just as Newton, when he saw the apple fall, did he immediately discover the law of gravity? He said, no, I have to search it, research it. And then after many years, he came up. So similarly, as we mature, this knowledge becomes more clear. Very nice question. Thank you. Sagar?
Yeah, I really like this discussion about worldly possessions and things like that, about and Vanita's, or I mean Krina's comment on when do we know when to switch between. And so I think like it gave a lot of insight about like what we need to focus on now as like Yuvakendra students versus what we should like focus on once we get older.
Thank you. Good. Rick?
Yeah. I want to go back to like the science question that we were having before. Like you mentioned how like things which are unexplainable, you just say that there's some higher power which makes those things possible. So are you suggesting that there isn't like a true, like scientifically verifiable explanation for why those things mm-hmm. occur in real life?
Yes, no, it is all a scientific, but it but where did the energy come from? Where did the energy come for the big bang? Where does the energy come that makes the planets move? It is gravitation, but who created this law of power of gravitation? It's all science. The human genome has so many DNAs. How did they, you know, billions of cells, there are 4 billion cells in a human being, and they all work together. There has to be some science. It is scientific, but there is an energy behind it. We don't know who created that.
Metaphysics.
So there is physics and then there is metaphysics. Harshini, you have anything?
So this isn't a question, but I really liked your last story about the guy in the house for 3 days because of how like it fits directly into what we're going through right now. And how, like, despite all the terrible things that are happening, we're kind of given a hidden opportunity, and that we a hidden opportunity that we don't usually have. And how, if we take this opportunity and make use of it, it could really benefit us mm-hmm. towards like, the path of the higher pleasures you were talking about,
yes.
and like ultimately, like self-realization and reaching home.
True. Thank you. Very good. Is there Mayur? I missed Mayur last week. He escaped.
Yes, so I made the connection to what you're talking about before, about like channeling your like thoughts and how you apply them. I made the connection to like your story at the end, where I think like the guy who had like a big shift in behavior, he must have like channeled his thoughts, and like through like his open-mindedness, he was able to like find something that was like truly important to him.
Yes, very true. Thank you. Arpita?
Not really a question, but like going back to kind of what Anish saying about hope and faith, I think it's really interesting, like especially in the time that we're in now, to see everyone kind of turn to hope and faith, because stuck at home, we can't really do much, but people are kind of holding on to that hope, because if you focus on everything negative, it's like mentally exhausting. So holding on to that hope and faith is kind of giving them a sense of something.
Shreshta is coming.
Oh, yeah. So this isn't like a question, but I really found it interesting. Like you mentioned about like the planets and how like we're not the like only universe, in, like billions of universes and like the 13 worlds and or like the, yeah, the
yes.
13 other worlds, I think. I found that really interesting.
Thank you.
Something to think.
Good, good. Yeah, that makes us feel how small we are, you know, how big this universe is. Alor, anything else you would like to add? Alor Sahu is there?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for all your contributions. Jayashree will do the Hanuman Chalisa. We'll just, everybody else please mute. Jayashree can unmute. And we'll do the Hanuman Chalisa just to pray for, because Hanumanji is the one that Nashe Rog Haresa Pira, removes all the illnesses and removes all the sorrow. So will all of you who know can sing it.
Sri Guru Charana Sarojaraja Nijamanamukura Sudhari Varana Raghuvarimanayasa Jodaya Kapalachari Buddhihina Tanujanike Sumirau Pavana Kumar बालबुद्धि विद्या देहु मोहि हरहु कलेश विकार जय हनुमान ज्ञान गुण सागर जय कपीश तिहु लोक उजागर राम दूत अतुलित बल धामा अंजनी पुत्र पवन सुत नामा महावीर विक्रम बजरंगी कुमति निवार सुमति के संगी कंचन वरन विराज सुबेसा कानन कुंडल कुंचित केशा हाथ वज्र और ध्वजा विराजे कांधे मूंज जनेऊ साजे शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगबंदन विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर काम काज करिबे को आतुर
प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सिंहि दिखा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरा भीम रूप धरि असुर संहारे रामचंद्र के काज समारे लाए सजीवन लखन जियाए श्री रघुवीर हर शिवर लाए रघुपति कीनी बहुत बढ़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत ही समभाई सहस बदन तुमरो यस गावे अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगा सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीषा नारद सारद सहित अहीसा यम कुबेर दिक पाल जहाते कवि को विद कही सके कहां ते तुम उपकार सुग्रीव ही कीना राम मिलाए राजपद दीना तुमरो मंत्र विभीषण माना लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जान युग सहस्त्र योजन पर भानु लील्यो ताहि मधुर फल जानु प्रभु मुद्रिका मेली मुख माही जल दिलांग गए अचरज नाही दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तुमरे देते राम दुआरे तुम रखवारे होत न आज्ञा बिन पैसा सब सुख लहे तुम्हारी सरना तुम रक्षक काहु को डरना आपन तेज संहारो आपे तीनों लोक हाँकते कांपे भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नाशे रोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत बीरा संकट से हनुमान छुड़ावे मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जोला सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा जिनके काज सकल तुम साजा और मनोरथ जो कोई लावे सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे चारो युग पर ताप तुम्हारा है पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा साधु संत के तुम रखबारे असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नव निधि के दाता असवर दीन जानकी माता राम रसायन तुमरे पासा सदा रहो रघुपति के दास तुमरे भजन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुबर पुर जाई जहां जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई और देवता चित्तन करही हनुमत से ही सर्व सुख करही संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बलबीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करहु गुरुदेव की नाई जो शत बार पाठ कर कोई छूट ही बंदी महा सुख होई जो यह पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा होए सिद्धि साखी गौरीसा तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महाडेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महाडेरा पवन तनय संकट हरन मंगल मूरति रूप राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुर भूप सियावर रामचंद्र की जय पवन सुत हनुमान की जय उमापति महादेव की जय बोलो भय सब संतन की जय
कायन
वाचा वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति
वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति धीर मारुति अति धीर मारुति गीत मारुति संगीत मारुति दूत मारुति राम दूत मारुति दूत मारुति राम दूत मारुति भक्त मारुति परम भक्त मारुति भक्त मारुति परम भक्त मारुति
वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति
वीर मारुति
गंभीर मारुति
गंभीर मारुति
गंभीर मारुति
गंभीर
सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः
सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ओम् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम्।